The question was asked, what's the Torah perspective on learning other languages? So firstly, it says in the Rambam, Perusha Mishnayis, Ve'ezeir b'mitzvah kala kevachamura, what's mitzvah kala? Kegon, simchat yom tov v'dibur lashon hakodesh. So Rambam says, a mitzvah kala is dibur lashon hakodesh. Ibn Tibon translates it as limud lashon hakodesh, but it would seem that the translation of dibur lashon hakodesh is more accurate, because the Maharik, in his commentary on Rashi, Marik is a Rishon, Rashi in Parshas Ekev, Vaya Ekev Tishme'un, so Rashi says, Mitzvot Shadam Dash Ba'akevo, the Armitzvot say, people don't take seriously enough. So the Marik on that Rashi says, for example, Dibur Lashon HaKodesh and Simchat Yom Tov. So it sounds like the Marik had a source like the Rambam, that Dibur Lashon HaKodesh, that's not a translation. So we see there's this light mitzvah, an easy mitzvah called speaking Lashon HaKodesh. Our modern Hebrew, by the way, is primarily Lashon HaKodesh, even though it has components that were invented and that evolved, but it's still primarily Lashon HaKodesh. It is still, we treat it halachically as Lashon HaKodesh. I know that politically people say a lot of things. I don't think that has halachic validity. Halachically, when the Chafetz Chaim, there are things that we say, okay, Ben Yehuda, who was an apostate, he invented, fine. Whether they're right, they're wrong, that's a good question. Yerak rak, adam dam, there are a lot of things that he said that we don't buy into, that he was incorrect about. The name he gave to a tomato, etc. But the fact that a language has to evolve, every language has to evolve, and Lashon HaKodesh also evolved. As it says in the Mishnah, Shanu Chachamim Birshon HaMishnah, that the language of Mishnah is different than the language of Tanakh. As the Talmud says in numerous places, Lashon Chachamim Lashon Lechud, etc. So that's not our topic. But Lashon HaKodesh is a language that we have a mitzvah to talk in. You talk in Hebrew, you're performing, as the Rambam and the Maharik writes, mitzvah kala. And it says in the Sifri, in Parshat Ekev, and we say every day, Vayam Shemot Ishmeu, so it says, V'dibarta bam, limatem otam et menechem ledaber bam. So the Sifri says, Mikan, from here we learn that when a person has a baby, the first language you should talk to him is Lashon HaKodesh. And if you don't, says the Sifri, you'd be better off burying that baby. That's the Lashon of the Sifri, a very harsh language. The Sifri says the first language, the mother tongue of a child, has to be Lashon HaKodesh. What's the logic? So that his mother tongue, he learns Torah in. So that it's not that every word of Torah he has to translate into another language. Rav Hirsch, when he wrote the book Chorev, so over there when he speaks about Chinuch, he says this is a point people have to be more wary about. They have to have the first language your child speaks is Hebrew. Now, is it an asset to know other languages? So there are many assets in life. Here we have to calculate what are my alternatives. If my choice is that a child will learn Torah and thrive in Torah, so why waste my time learning French and Spanish and Italian and Russian and German? They're all assets. But he could be learning Torah. Why would I waste his time? But if the choice is that as I'm running the house, I can speak, I'm multilingual, and I could give the child another tool, and as he grows up, he'll grow up in a house that after he knows Hebrew and is speaking Hebrew fluently, and when he learns Torah, it's easy for him because it's his mother tongue, but I've given him the asset of another language, so why wouldn't I give him that asset? What I'm telling you right now is Shanui b'machloket. There is an opinion. Rav Nevenzal is of the opinion, don't waste your kid's time. Why do you want him to have access to everything that's in other languages? So I'm just mentioning there is a counter opinion. There is an opinion of Nevenzal. I discussed this with him once, and he holds that there's no point whatsoever in teaching your child another language. Let the child just learn Torah. In my humble opinion, I think that we definitely have children that are going to do other things. And if my child is going to spend time doing other things, then I might as well give him a great tool where he might end up one day teaching in Machon Meir, the English department, or the Spanish department, or the French department. So why wouldn't I give him the tool to access the world? Chazal tell us that the Sanhedrin, Mipihem, would have to hear testimony from the person, and they would have to understand it. They didn't have to speak the language. The Sanhedrin could use a translator to explain their questions to the man. But they would have to understand the man giving the testimony in his language. So you see, the Sanhedrin did learn those languages. I don't think they wasted their time studying languages, but they were brilliant people. You see, as the Meiri writes, that Avraham Avinu was a child prodigy. The Meiri, in his introduction to Pirkei Avot, writes, he says, what does it mean Avraham discovered his creator at age 3? That means that Avraham had unnatural skills. Avraham Avinu was a tremendous philosopher. As the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu compiled Maseches Avodah Zarah with 400 chapters, which the Ramban explains to mean that Avraham Avinu compiled a work of philosophy with 400 chapters about why monotheism is correct and you should not be a pagan. That's a philosophical work the Ramban writes that Avraham Avinu compiled. So Avraham was a super genius. So yeah, we had super geniuses in our history. And for them, learning languages was not a big deal. We had students here many times who spoke many, many, many languages. We've had students here in this class that you're sitting in who spoke seven, 10 languages.
Speaks at least 3 or 4.
No? But brilliant. Ben Zion, right?
Ben Zion.
Yes. Okay. Here, he's sitting here before us. So there are people who are very talented and there are people who catch it easily. And there are people who can argue that if I'm going to give it to my child as a freebie, why shouldn't I give him that? Should a person go and study other languages? So that goes into what we discussed again from... This is in Rav Elchanan Wasserman's work, Kovetz Shiurim, actually. Not even in the Kovetz Mechtavim, it's in the Kovetz Shiurim. Rav Elchanan Wasserman writes that a person has to know that not every child is going to end up being the world's greatest sage in Torah, and then it's going to be a mitzvah for him to earn a parnasa, and then obviously you have to give him the tools to earn a parnasa. And that's what Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Chafetz Chaim's disciple, writes. So then if you give him those tools, if in the house you could speak Spanish or English and your child walks away with another tool, so there's an element where that's an asset. Obviously, this idea of teaching a child that Parnassah deserves its own class. Our focus has to be, I'm giving my child a strength, a knowledge, a basis of Yiddishkeit. It's not only about Torah knowledge, it's also about the soul of the Torah. The connection to the heart of the Torah. So that when a child opens a sefer, he feels at home. These are my friends. Upnei lecha chaver, says Rashi, ze sefer. Your friends should be books. That's our goal in education. On the other hand, we also have to give him the tools to be able to earn a livelihood, unless, of course, we see he's talented. And then we have to give him the tools to be a giant in Torah. How do you know if he's talented? First, give him the tools to be a giant in Torah. And then see how he grows with it. Don't be quick to say, let me enroll him in school where he'll have all the tools to be a philanthropist. Let's make sure he has the option to be a giant in Torah. And then as he grows, we'll see how much where our focus should be. So in a nutshell, learning other languages is an asset. It's a tool that can be used for good things. Learning Torah is a mitzvah. Speaking Hebrew is a mitzvah. And therefore, my first goal is to give him the language of Hebrew, give him the tools to learn Torah, and let him grow there. If I have an easy way to give him the other tools, it's not a bad thing. It's very nice to have the tools. Can it also be a part of a person's development like any other secular studies? Yeah. Like Rav Elchanan Wasserman writes, there are scenarios where a person's role in this world is to make a living and learn Torah and balance the two. And in such a case, then that could be a part of his growth. But I wouldn't be so quick to sell oneself short. Any person that made it to Machon Meir means that he has tremendous strengths that other people don't have. And that means he has the capacity to give Klal Yisrael what other people can't give. You don't come to Machon Meir without crossing many, many, many difficult hurdles. So before you decide, I could do other things, you got to think 10 times, because you probably have other areas where you can help Klal Yisrael that other people cannot. And the simple proof of that is think of all your neighbors and all your friends and all your family members and ask yourself, how many of them have come to Machon Meir? And if you've come, then that sort of tells you something about the strengths that you have within you. So even though we have discussed the responsibility and the aspect of making a parnasa, but don't forget the other side. Am Yisrael needs people who will develop shuls, who will develop batei medrash, who will educate, who will care about the future, the Torah future of the people. And you guys have to play a role in that.